The scripture was read earlier from the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with that 17th verse. I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, this is during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle from the law, till they are all fulfilled." Let me read that again. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." I want to speak with you a little while this morning, but the Old Testament is still relevant. The Old Testament is still relevant. You know, it's kind of easy to get confused about this because we know that we're no longer living under the law, but under grace. And you know, living under grace creates some problems for us because we are living under grace, we feel we don't even have to look back at the law because whatever it is, we might just say, "Lord, I don't know if I sinned. Go ahead and forgive me if you would, because I'm living under grace." But the Lord would have you to know, Jesus is letting us know that even though he's fulfilling the law and the prophecy, because he is and because he has, we need to recognize that all of those laws and all of those rules and all of those things are still relevant to us. Sin is still sin. And I suppose if you look at the Old Testament, one of the main things that it does is it makes us see who God is, what God despises, what God loves. It makes us know what it is God expects of us. All of those things, they didn't change. We're in the church age now, and that's a good thing. We can be forgiven for our sins. Our sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. We're not under the penalty of sin because we're under grace. But somehow we still need to know what it is that God wants from us. We still need to try to live according to his will. We're under the law, no. But we aren't, and there's no penalty, no. But still, God's will is God. God has not changed. And all those things that he taught us and that we read from those 39 books, all of that is still relevant to me right now. And I need to realize that. Well, you know, you should go back and read the Old Testament. I like to say that somehow the pages seem to be gilded because there's so much there that we need to look at and to realize how God has touched our life. We go to the first five books, and we find there that the things that God loved and the things God hated, but mainly we saw what God's power was. The miraculous things that happened during those days. When God was pleased, people knew that he was pleased. When God was displeased, people recognized that God wasn't pleased. But somehow it seemed that now as we move further, we find that there are other things that are as important as that. The prophecies are important. The poetry is all important. You know, as we looked at Galatians, we see that one of the things that is happening there that Paul, because he knew people would get confused about this grace, and he wanted them to know, well, let me just explain to you about the law a little bit. The law is sort of like that. Well, let me remember now, Brother Joel know about, over at the school where we grew up, where we had to go when we were first starting school, the teachers who were there, they weren't mean. But they let you know when you weren't doing what they wanted you to do. But you know, as you look back, all the things that they were teaching you all that time, you needed that. And so they, even though they had to be a little rough on you sometime, somehow they were doing those things because you needed to know those things. And what Paul is saying, you need to know these things. And the law is sort of like that teacher. It's sort of like Sister Ellis, sort of like Sister Gray, bringing some truth that you need to know, because you need it to build on. You're going to need to know all of this stuff. You need to understand all of this. And that's what the Old Testament is. It's all of those things that you need to know as you grow, as you become closer and closer to the Lord. If you're going to really be what God would have you to be, there's some things you need to know about it. You need to recognize his power. He's the most powerful being in all of the universe. There's nobody whose power can compare with God. But you know, he's a loving God. No matter what it is that you need, if you talk to the Lord about, you'll find that he'll bring you through even your most difficult situations. Somehow you need to know who he is. The Old Testament tells us the things that we need to know about the Lord. Well, we need the basics in order to go to the next level. We need to understand who God is before we can go to the next level. We need to recognize what he loves and what he does not like if we're going to move to the next level. Somehow we need to do that. And so Paul is saying that you had to go through that. But now as you're starting to grow, you don't need the schoolmaster anymore. Let me just remind you of something else I'll tell you about. You wouldn't know about this, but there was a time when the people in our classroom acted up, that the teacher who was there, well, maybe she'd pat your hand with a ruler. And that was okay, because if it got so that the whole class was out of hand, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, if the whole class was out of hand, you had to get in line and go down the hall to the principal's office. And she had some kind of, well, I don't remember all that she had, but she would make you sorry that you came to her office. And we would line up along the wall going down. And all of that was because somehow this was important. And our parents knew. Now, the parents knew that they would do this. And it was okay with the parents. And Paul is saying here, the it may be hard and it may seem like it's, but that's what this Old Testament, all the things, all the rules and all of those things, that was to get you started so you really knew who God was. I would not realize right now how blessed I am with the grace if I didn't realize that I was on my way to hell based on what was in the Old Testament. Jesus lets us know that he did not erase that. He did not remove the Old Testament. What he's done is he has taken on himself the penalties for our sin. So we're not living under the penalty of our sins. No, we're not living under those penalties at all. We're not living under the penalties. Rather, we're living under grace. But then in the sixth chapter of Romans, he says, should we go out and sin so that this grace that has been provided, so that it'll abound? The more we sin, the more grace, because he's going to continue to cover us with his grace. But Paul is saying, don't go there. I want you to know what God wants of you. And I want you to know that you've come up short. But you need to realize that you can't just continue to come up short and feel that it's okay. No. You're not going to be punished for it, perhaps, because you're under grace. But somehow we who are under grace need to love God enough and recognize him as the Lord of the universe and recognize who he is. We're not living under the law, but we know the law. We need to know the law. We need to know how to do things God's way. You know, there are things that God gave things he wanted us to do, and somehow we find that we didn't always quite obey. I'm reminded of Saul, and he got the word that what he was to do is when he went out and was at war, he was to not bring back anybody. Everything and everybody was to be destroyed. But Saul thought, well, there are some good-looking sheep, and why don't I just take them back? I'm sure the Lord didn't think this through. Why don't I just take, what I can do is I'll take these back and I'll sacrifice them to the Lord. But the Lord wasn't pleased. Because you see, with the Lord, obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord gave him what to do, and somehow it seemed so easy, but he decided to do it a different way. You know, there are some things in the Old Testament that somehow we seem to just want to ignore because it doesn't seem to be quite what we want. But God wants us to obey. Obedience is so important. You know, there, when we look at the New Testament, somebody might tell you, well, you know, in the New Testament, there is nothing at all about tithing. It's just not in the New Testament. And if we say that we've kicked the Old Testament to the curb, there's no tithing that we need to be concerned about. That's Old Testament stuff. That's Old Testament. No, all of the things that God gave us and the directions that he gave us in the Old Testament, Jesus is telling them they're still in place, not a jot or tittle. What Jesus did was take away the penalty of death. All those other things are still in place. Tithing, I read it. I'm glad it's not in the New Testament. But it's still what God wants. It's still God's way. Those things did not change, Jesus said. Now let's just talk about tithing. How is it that those who make very little are able to give very little? Well, that's just the way God planned it. 10%, no matter who you are, if no matter how much you make, no matter how much you get, the same thing. That 10%. Now that I think about it and we look at it, how perfect it is. But you know what? This is the one place in the scriptures where the Lord says, you try me. Mm-hmm. Try the Lord. The Lord said, you try me. You see, if you do what I've just told you to do, you give those tithes. You see, if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you won't even be able to receive. That's what the Lord said. That's what he said. And somehow we need to go ahead and try it. And I think that those who have tried him, those who have said yes, those who have gone beyond where they thought they could go, and given that 10%, they'll find how true that is. That Old Testament statement, that Old Testament commitment that the Lord made, it is still right now. I think somebody here can tell you that they decided to tithe, and somehow the Lord's just been blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. I think I've talked to you about this before. When I was first pastoring a church over in Vienna, we were just getting started, and well, I didn't have a lot, but Barb and I talked about it and realized that the pastor of the church ought to be tithing. And so we decided we were going to do that. So I started tithing, but it was really hard for me. And since we were tithing together, Barb tithed as well. Well, I was tithing for Barb, but she didn't know that. So I guess you can't owe the tithe. You can't owe the gift to the Lord, huh? But at the time, we were struggling. We were really struggling. And right after that, after we started tithing, we found that there was this place in Vienna. We've been trying to find a place to rent close to the church, and it just didn't seem to work. And there was this place, and the folks who owned it wanted to get rid of it. They had it for a long time, and they couldn't sell it. So they were willing to really cut the price. I mean, they did everything they could to make it so that that house would be available. We got it. We were living, instead, we weren't able to rent, but that we had this house, nice house, over in Vienna. And I can't help but feel that it had to do with God opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing. Because I was willing to do what he said to do. Old Testament stuff, right? That's Old Testament. But I was doing that. Don't feel that because it's Old Testament, we don't go there anymore. We're in the church age now. Yeah, but Jesus wants us to know that all the things that God disliked are still sin. All the things that please God, those are the things we ought to be trying to do. All the things that make us what God would have us to be, living the way he would have us to live, all of that's still the things we ought to be doing. That's Old Testament. But the Lord wants us to know that it's still in place. Not a jot or tittle has changed. It's still in place. But you know, of all the things that are in the Old Testament, I suppose what I like most are the promises. I said he's a powerful God. He's a loving God. He's a providing God. Look at the things he provided. When there was no water, he brought water. When there was no food, he gave them manna from the sky. when there was nothing they could find to eat, he somehow gave them quail and all the things that he did. What a provider he was. But with all the power and all the things that he did, what I focus on the most is a promise. Because I find in Isaiah that there was a promise. There was a promise that the Lord was going to come. You see, somehow he let us know that he would be wounded for our transgression. This was Old Testament words. He said he's going to be bruised for our iniquity. This was written in the Old Testament. The chastisement of our peace will be upon him. And with his stripes, we're going to be healed. I don't mind going to the Old Testament and finding Jesus there. I go there and I find that the Lord loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that he would be able to get us through what we could not get through by ourselves. We could not make it into glory based on our righteousness. We could not live up to all the laws and all the rules. There's no way for us to do that. The only way that we were going to have salvation, the only way we could have eternal life was through Jesus Christ. God did it. He loved us that much. I don't mind telling you that. I like to know. I like to realize that all of those things and all that weight that would be on me has been lifted by the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. I have salvation. I have salvation. I have salvation. Jesus came according to the word, according to the scripture, according to God's word that we got through Isaiah. The Old Testament, don't kick it to the side. Don't think that it's not worth reading. Don't think that it's not worth your time. God wants us to know what is there. Because nothing could possibly describe God better than looking at the way he handled situations in the Old Testament. Yes. Now we know who he is. Now we know what he expects of us. Yes. Now we know how far we went from being right. Now we know that the God of the universe loves us enough to bring us out of all of those things that we were in through Jesus Christ. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. But you know, you wouldn't realize how blessed you are if you haven't looked back to see where we were. You wouldn't know how blessed we are if you didn't realize what would happen to us if God hadn't taken away the sins through Jesus Christ. If you haven't looked back to see what would be happening to every one of us, because all have sinned and come short, if God hadn't given us Jesus Christ, you wouldn't realize how blessed we are. We need to look back there. We need to recognize what God's desires for us are in order for us to be the Christians God would have us to be. We're not under the law. Don't have to worry about the penalties of law. We're under grace. But we need to look back into the Old Testament to see what God wants and desires of us. It's still relevant. It's still relevant. It's relevant to us individually. It's relevant to us as a church. The same way God felt about Sodom and Gomorrah, he feels about those who are going into those types of situations now. The same way that God looked at situations back then, he hasn't changed. He's still the same God. An unchanging God. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad that he didn't change. But I'm also glad that I'm not under that penalty because of Jesus Christ. Let us talk to God. Oh, our Father and our loving God, we recognize, Father, that we have a lot to learn from the Old Testament. We recognize, Father, we can't avoid it and ignore it. All of those things that you desire of us and all the things that make us more and more of what you would have us to be or less and less of where you would have us to go. Father, we need to know those things. And as we go through the old scriptures and we can look at the Psalms and see how so many people recognized who you were and decided to live according to your will and how they were blessed. When we look back, Father, at the history and see how David and others were able to accomplish so much by just doing things your way. Father, we're so glad that somehow as we look back at the Old Testament, we can look at our lives and realize, Father, that if we'll hold on the way that they did, somehow you're going to bless us. Father, we realize that no matter how righteous we might think we are, No matter how much we may feel that we're doing things according to your will, we realize that the only way that we're saved from the penalties is through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity every now and then to reflect back on the Old Testament to see where you brought us from. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, my Lord. You know, there might be somebody who has not decided they want to put themselves in the hands of Jesus. I guess they don't mind living under the penalty of sin. Somehow, I don't think that there's anybody who really feels that. But somehow we need to realize how easy it is and recognize how blessed we are to have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All of those things from the Old Testament, we need to know it. We need to recognize it. We need to build, our lives need to be built on knowing what the Lord wants from us. We're not living under the penalty, but we need to know what sin is. We're not living under the penalty, but we need to know where he's brought us from. Is there someone who wants to accept Jesus Christ? Somebody who wants to accept that salvation? Someone who wants to allow themselves to be wrapped up in the arms of the God of the universe and become a part of the household of faith? Is there someone? He's waiting for you. If you haven't said yes, he's waiting for you. He knows all about you. Those good things, you know, the ones that you talk about, put on Facebook. He knows all of those. But you know what? Those things that you avoid letting anybody hear, he already knows those as well. So no matter how good you are, how perfect you may feel your life is, no matter how far you may feel from doing Satan's will, you need to recognize that God can take you and make you more of what he would have you to be if you put yourself in his hands. Is there somebody? Somebody who wants to say yes. God bless you all. God bless you all. My Lord. Stand.